I'm not as good a preacher as they are singing. So there you go. It's good to be here today. This message that I'm bringing today is perhaps, it's a fact that Satan does not want it to be spoken. When I saw Pastor and I talked to him 7 weeks, 8 weeks ago, I don't know, and I said, I'd like to bring this message, and he said, okay, and we set a date. From that time, I had pneumonia, double pneumonia. I got a little better, and then I got pneumonia again. I got a little better, and I felt, I've been the sickest for 6 weeks or 7 weeks I ever been in my life. I have a question for you. How many of you dream or daydream or night dreams? Okay, I don't care. About heaven. How many? You know, don't be shy. The rest of you aren't going there, huh? Because you know something? You have a heavenly home. I think about my earthly home, don't you? But you have a heavenly home and you don't even think about it. Awesome. It's really sad. You know, what does the Bible have to say about heaven? What's it like? Can you just speak up? You're allowed to here. We're all friends. What does the Bible have to say about heaven?
Sin's been put away.
Sins. I'm talking about the physical heaven, not sins forgiven. I'm just the physical heaven. Pardon?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Streets of gold, huh? Oh. Yeah, there's the one thing that the Bible does say, and I got this from, it does tell us, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions, John 14:2. He says, and if it were, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As you read that, you have to remember he's saying it's a personal thing. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, he didn't say everyone. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven becomes a personal thing. Now, beings at heaven can be a personal thing. I can dream my own dreams about heaven, right? You know, I know what I want heaven to be like. I know what, I dream about heaven, and I also dream about the millennial kingdom, because I'm going to be here, there, and here during that whole time. He says, you're going to rule and reign with me for 1,000 years. I'm going to be here. Well, where are you going to be in that 1,000 years? Where are you going to be when, are you going to be in such shock when you see heaven? You know, probably. I mean, I will be, and even though I dream about it, you know, what's it going to look like? But the Bible does say, and I want you to listen to this closely. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says how that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful to even be uttered. And he saw unspeakable things and unseen that couldn't be told. Two people did that, John and Paul. Saw heaven and couldn't tell you a thing about it. Can you imagine the excitement in their insides to see heaven and not be able to tell anybody. First of all, there was no words to explain it. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing. There's no words to explain what heaven is like. And heaven in itself, and you say, I ask you the question, how many of you dream about it, and how many of you, and I got a few hands. Honestly, how many of you have a home in heaven? How many? You know something? If you have a home in heaven, we need to act like it. We really do. We need to start acting like we're a child of the King, not a child of a pauper. This is how are you going to get? How I have a question. I was always confused. How do you know you have a kingdom, a home in heaven? How'd you get there? I made reservations. Did you? I made reservations. I'm telling you, it is so great to know that my reservations are always going to be there. I have a home in heaven. Do I know what it looks like? No. Would I like to know? Absolutely. But how do you make those reservations? How did you make your reservations? I've heard it said, talked to a few Christians, and they said, well, I've been a member of this church for 30 years. Well, that's a good thing, but that won't get you one inch into heaven. Not one inch into heaven. Say, well, my parents I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised, my parents are good Christians. Well, that's a good thing too. But it's not going to get you one inch into heaven. Mainly because God doesn't have grandchildren. He does not. They're all children. God does not have grandchildren. So those of you that think, well, I'm a grandchild, doesn't work that way. Stand on your own two feet before God. And so how did you get these reservations made for you? How? Well, I'm going to read you in Romans 10, 9 through 10. It tells you, 9 through 13, tells you how to make reservations for heaven. He says in 10, verse 9, he says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's reservations. But you know something? The one word that trip you up is because you have to believe. Oh, you can say those words all day long. You can say those words till they roll out of your ears. But it's not going to work unless you believe. You know, you could, you know, I've been in a lot of places and a lot of, and people know the right words to say in church. People know the proper things. You know something? I never was one for etiquette and never was. I don't care. I believe that you should be who you are. Because God created you exactly who you are. And be proud of it. Because God doesn't make mistakes. And when he said, if you believe in him, you will have ever eternal life. Now, heaven is important to me because I also dream about the millennial kingdom. Now, people say, I don't think about that. Why not? You're going to be here for 1,000 years. Why not? 1,000 years. You're not going to sit around on your thumbs for 1,000 years. I'm telling you, you're going to be busy. Now, I've been talking to the Lord, so I'm trying to get reservations made. See, I want to go to a little town in Florida where I was raised, and I want to be drive around and help people, you know, for the Lord. I want a 55-4 to do that in. You know, I know what I want. And you say, can you ask God for specifics? Absolutely. I hope so, because I do. You know, I don't, when you talk to the Lord, you go, well, Lord, I'm not feeling well. Tell him where you hurt. Here, God's word says for us to start acting like we're supposed to act. You know, putting on airs is not one of my things. My wife could tell you that. I'm telling you, God doesn't want a bunch of people acting like puppets, you know, a little cookie cutter Christians that we chop out and they come out and walk through the door, all looking alike. That's not what God wants. God wants you to be the very best you can be. And if you can't see that and you can't reach that, I don't know what to tell you, but I tell you, I have big dreams of millennial kingdom. I have big dreams of heaven. They're my dreams. You're allowed to have dreams too. Of course, yours is for you, not for me. So we know a little bit about heaven, very little. We know that there's a throne, crystal flowing river. The Bible does not describe a lot of heaven. And if you're looking for physical thing, it doesn't do it. You know, streets of gold that are crystal, so pure, it's crystal clear, rubies. But that doesn't bother me. A cobblestone would be fine for me. You know, I want to be where God is. And I want him to be proud of me, not because I look like Pastor Les, or I want to look. Of course, he'd have to get a little better looking. But it's not that at all. I want it to be because he wants me, and I want to be there. Where, well, I don't care if it's a cobblestone street and the mansion is a little house. I don't care. Because who's going to stay in it anyways? I don't know. I have no intentions of staying in a house when I'm in heaven. I want to explore. You know, what's wrong with you? You guys have no, you can't get excited about heaven. this is going to be your eternal home. Now that I've taken a few minutes to talk about heaven, the other objective to this is, I ask you how many of you had reservations, and there were some of you didn't raise your hand. And some of you kind of not so sure. I want to explain to you, there is an alternative to heaven. And it is not a pretty sight. But it is a necessary item that you learn to deal with. I'm going to get some water here. It's going to get hot. It is a place called hell. And it is going to be one of the worst places you could ever imagine. And, you know, the worst enemy I ever knew, I would not wish that upon. It was never designed, hell was never designed for mankind at all. It was made for Satan and the fallen angels. It was never designed for mankind. But if you want to go there, God's not going to stop you. You see, when I ask you if you made reservations and you did, that means you're not sure if you did or not. Today's an alternative day. You know there's a heaven. And I'm going to explain to you about hell, because it's the worst thing that could ever happen to you. If you will turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16, starting with verse 19. This is not an exciting time. It's not a time when we need to look at God's word and listen to it. And this should burden your heart. Verse 19. So there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tips of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember when your lifetime you received all the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides this, between you and us, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which are here could not pass, and you cannot come either. Now, it says, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. And he said, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They will let them hear from, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, he says, but if one came from the dead, they would believe or repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen to one coming from the dead. One came from the dead. And we still don't believe. It's perhaps one of the hardest portions of Scripture to preach. As I listen to this and I look at it and I think, it's easy to get confused when he says that one had good things in his lifetime, the other one had evil things. That's bad translations, because it's not that the one had good things, it's one was offered. He had rich, had plenty of money, but he was offered salvation. Actually, he was offered and could have went and sacrificed his animals, and he could have been under the blood by the cover up of blood. But he wasn't willing to do that. Now, did Lazarus do that? Yes, he did. As I read this and I thought, I wonder how many people think that's a parable. How many of you think it's a parable? You see, I'm going to explain something to you. You will never find a parable with a proper name. Ever. And there is a proper name there. And you say, why didn't he name the rich man? Because everybody knew would have known who he was talking about. You see, God, in his wisdom and through his tears, he said the rich man because he couldn't bear to hurt his family. They still had the opportunity that he had by reaching out to a thing. But I want to tell you, as I read this, and I want you to get deep into it as you read it, he says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. That's not a very far, you know, he was taken to Abraham's bosom. Now, I am not sure, and maybe you can help, Pastor. I'm not sure where hell is. I think it's under the ground, but I'm not sure. Reason being is it talks about the goats and the sheep and stuff, and the earth swallowed them up. I don't know. I don't know where hell is. But what I do know is Abraham's bosom was close by. Abraham's bosom was set up for the Old Testament saints. They sacrificed and as when they died and they were under the cover up of the blood, they were taken to Abraham's bosom. That does not mean they're saved. You know, don't mix salvation with, because you're still in the Old Testament. Don't mix up salvation with this. He went to Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, a place of safety. What that is, I don't know. But I do know between, and the whole thing was called Hades, by the way. Hades was divided into two sections. One was called Abraham's bosom, the other was called hell. Between the two was a great gulf fixed. I'm not sure of the location, but I can say this, that Lazarus finally found peace. Now, he was still looking for something. You know, these people, they were looking for the cross. We're looking at the cross from behind. And a whole different ball game for us as it was them. They were looking towards the cross. The cross had not happened yet. And nobody was going to heaven because nobody's sins had been forgiven. The sins were covered up in Abraham's bosom. And their sins were there. They had not been forgiven, but they weren't being punished either. Now, when Jesus died on the cross and he descended into Hades, he descended into Abraham's bosom and set the captives free. Their sins were forgiven. I look at this and I can't believe, because the next thing that I hear is the rich man, and he died, and he was buried. You ever been to a non-believer's funeral? Not a pretty sight. Not at all. What are you going to say about a non-believer? He's finally at rest? Boy, that's not true. Listen to this. He says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham afar off. I read that and I thought to myself, wow, he has a body because he lifted up his eyes. And if he has eyes, he has a head. So, I mean, goes to think. He lifted up his eyes and looking afar off through, he could see Abraham's bosom. The very essence of what heaven and hell are like, you can see what you missed. Will they be able to see in hell what they missed in heaven? I don't know. But they could in Abraham's bosom. And he lifted up his eyes and he, you know, remember the Lord Jesus is saying this. This is his story, not mine. This is him telling it. And it says here, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip his fingers in water and cool my... You know, I tried to imagine that. And let me tell you something. I don't have a blowtorch, but if you took a blowtorch and you touched yourself with it, you wouldn't be just crying. You'd be screaming. Unmercifully screaming and begging and pleading to make the pain stop. The word torment is a good choice of words, but it's hard to put into your thought pattern. You can't think that. See, you can't imagine the pain that this man's in. Think about it. Begging and just for a touch of water to his tongue. Just for a touch. I wanted water in my lifetime, but not that bad. I can't imagine what he's going through. But here, he gives it a description. He says, he can't come there and you can't come here. You see, it's okay if I tell you these things and it's still not personal to you. It's time to make it personal to you. Have you sat in this church for years? For weeks? Maybe your first time? And tried to say, I'm saved? Are you sure about that? Have you sat in this church and ignored the possibilities? We have some tremendous messages come from this pulpit, and we ignore them. We take those messages and we put them in our little archives, and we ignore them. Isn't it time you stopped ignoring God's word? Stop playing some kind of plastic Jesus game. It's not going to work. If you are not sure today, and I have to ask this, if you're not sure 100% that you're going to heaven, you really need to be up here on your knees making sure. I'll be glad to be here and pray with you, because I want you there with me. There's not a single person in this room that I don't want. I want them to be there with me. Every single one of you. And it's time that you grew up. You know, you say, well, I'm just a kid. I'm 30. You know, I was a kid when I was 17, 15 or something. I don't know. I was married when I was 17, so I was never too long a kid. You grow up pretty fast. 30 is not a kid. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And do you have reservations? Isn't it time you stop playing a game? I appreciate our pastor. I do. But I'll tell you what. He preaches his heart out, and we don't listen. He preaches his heart out for us to change. Do we change? Isn't it time that you grew up? I know that's hard stuff. I probably get yelled at when I get home about that one. That's okay. It's time to grow up. It's time to stop playing some kind of plastic Jesus game that I don't even understand. It's time to reach out and to help that person beside you. Here, hell is real. Heaven is absolutely real. And that's why I started with heaven, because I want you to have a dream. But I also want you to know reality is there some people are not going to go there. Are you one of those? And isn't it time that you prepared the way? Isn't it time that you said, I am just not sure if I'm going to heaven or not? It's okay. I tell you what, I'd rather not be sure and then get down here and make sure than I had to walk out that door there and never know for sure. If you believe in the Lord, and you're never, you know, you've never come to that point where you just said, Lord, come into my life and save me. Change my life. Rule it. Guide it. Direct it. If you've never come to that point, don't you think it's time? We've spent a lot of time today on heaven and hell, but we need to spend time on our attitude, our frame of mind. We are who we say we are because of who? Because of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I love the Lord with all my heart. But I certainly do not want to go to heaven leaving you behind. I can almost understand Moses when he said, Lord, take my life. Don't hurt them. But it's time. There's no grandchildren in heaven. You're going to have to do it on your own. And I plead with you. Today is the day of salvation. You can walk out of here and ignore this, but you're going to be in trouble later. You're going to be right where you don't want to be, and that's a place called hell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love towards us. Lord, we know that nothing we can say or do will change one life here today. But we know your word will. And so we ask that the Holy Spirit go ahead now and to change lives. Lord, change us. Make us who we need to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.